Okay, so yesterday we started the sugya of Yeyush, and we were trying to describe the difference between Yeyush and Hefker. We didn't get very far, but we started to scratch the surface a little bit. So today, what I asked you to do is go through the Gemaras, because if you go through, the sugya really starts not on Chaval Vam Lalv, but on the top of Chaval Vam Beis. The Gemara records this machlokas about Yeyush Shalomidas, according to Abaye Amar Lo Ave Yeyush, and Rava Amar Hava Yeyush. And then the Gemara goes on to first frame the machlokas to tell us which cases they're not arguing about and which case they are arguing about. And then for a daf and a half, the Gemara goes to bring 12 different rayas, whether Yeyush Lomidas is Yeyush or is not Yeyush, and that obviously goes for a while. So I think it's very kedai, very important, obviously, to read through the whole sugya before we can really discuss it intelligently. But at least let's quickly chazar what we did yesterday and take it through to the next step. So what we did yesterday is essentially we tried to track the source for the din of Yeyush, the source for the din of Hefker, and to see if they are in fact the same thing. Who gives us the impression that they're the same thing? Rashi. Right? Rashi seems to associate Yeyush and Hefker with each other. Tosfos, Chavzayin and Malalev, not so much the same, right? That Yeyush and Hefker are different things. So we tried to track the source a little bit. Based on the way Tosfos understands the Mishnah and Chavzayin and Malalev, what is the source for the idea of Yeyush? What word in the Torah?
Simla.
And what is the according to the Rash in the sixth paragraph of Peya, what is the source for the idea of Hefker
Unatashta.
So we have two different words in the Torah that tell us about Yeyush and Hefker. We then discussed, and this is as a Pesach to what we're to how we're going to define the difference. We discussed the difference between Kodshei Bedek HaBayis and Kodshei Mizbeach. Animals that have Kedusha, but only so long as the Kedusha is not that you're planning on ever using this animal as a carbon. The Kedusha is that when you buy this animal from Hekdush, they'll use that money to repaint whatever needs repainting or to fix the tiles in the Azara or something like that. That's Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis. Kodshei Mizbeach is that it's meant to be used as a carbon. There's actually a third category that we didn't discuss, which is Kedusha's Damim LaMizbeach. Sometimes, let's say you're makdish a balmum, so you know when you're makdish it that it's never going to be used lemezbeach because it's balmum. But it's you were makdish it with kedushas mezbeach, but it can't be used for the mezbeach. So that's what we call kedushas damim lemezbeach. What's kedushas damim lemezbeach? What do you do with it? You sell it and use the money not to fix tiles, dafka to buy another carbon lemezbeach. But using the model of Kedushas Bedek HaBayis versus Kedushas Mizbeach, we pointed out that Tosfos Maseches Bava Kama points out a contradiction between two Gemaras in Perek Merubah. There's a din in Parshas Mishpatim that one of the differences between the Ganav and the Gazlan is that a Ganav who stole behind the Niglav's back pays Kefel, a Gazlan does not. Good. So a Ganav Shetavach Umachar, what does he pay? If someone is Gonev and then Tavach Umachar, what does he do? Dalet Vehe, right? He's got to pay Dalet Vehe. What if he didn't sell it to another person? He decided he wants to be Makdish as a carbon. He's going to steal this animal, but he's very religious. So he's going to use this animal as a carbon. He needs to bring carbon because he didn't have Averis. He needs to bring carbon chattas. Where's he going to get a carbon chattas from? So he goes and he steals an animal so that he can then be makdish it for a carbon chattas. Yeah, you can imagine people doing such a thing. So a person does such a thing. He's makdish the animal as a carbon chattas. So you have one Gemara that tells us that if he's makdish it, then he does pay dalet vehe. Because mali machal hedyot, mali machal hedyot. That's the expression. What difference does it make if he sold it to a person, or he sold it to Hekdush. Either way, he sold it, so that it was ganav umachar. So he pays dalet vehe. But then there's another Gemara that says, no, he made it Hekdush, nothing happened. What do you mean nothing happened? Because meikara turu du Ruvein, right? I stole this animal. So meikara turu du Ruvein, originally, my name's not Ruvein, but meikara turu, originally it was Ruvein's animal, and lahasta turu du Ruvein. And even after he made it, it's still Reuven's animal. Yeah, we call it Mamun Gavoa. That's just to express its Kedusha. But really, it is still. He didn't give it to another party. He didn't give it to another person. So what did we explain yesterday? That there's a difference between two types of Kedusha. Kedusha Bedek HaBayis is a function of, how do we describe Kedusha Bedek HaBayis? Is a function of who owns it. And as soon as the ownership goes away, the Hekdush is over. It's Paka Kedushasa. It's Mali Machal Lehedyot, Mali Machal Lehedyot. Right? Kedushas Mizbeach, though, is not a function of ownership. It's based on being Omei v'hakrava. Kedushas Mizbeach is Meikara Tura Deruven, Hashta Tura Deruven. Now, based on this idea that, and why did we say that? What brought us to that discussion? Because we were talking about the Gemara at the end of Chulin, that if an animal escapes, right? And the Gizbar can't catch him. Remember we discussed the Gizbar, he has an accounting degree. He doesn't know how to catch an escaped animal. So the animal escapes, he can't catch it. So what did we say? It loses its Kedusha. Why? Why did it lose its Kedusha? Because it's totally nevad, it's totally lost. Avazim v'tarna golin shel chulin, Tosel says, that are mordu b'baleim, that an animal runs away, it becomes hefker. Why? Because when an animal escapes, it's paka kedushasa. Which kedusha goes away? The kedusha b'edek abayis. Because kedusha b'edek abayis is a function of ownership. Ownership is gone if the animal's nevad. If the animal's gone, the animal cannot be found, and will never be found, it's totally lost. No one can find it. That means that you lost your ownership of it. It's nevad. It's an absolute Aveda. We'll call that an absolute Aveda. And the same is going to be true when a regular guy, not Hedish, an animal runs away, and he can't identify it, and he's not going to find it, and no one could find it. It's in the wild. It's absolute Aveda, and therefore, says Tosos, it becomes Hefker. It's absolute Hefker. Now let's bring it back to our Gemara. With one more example, first from our sugya, and then we'll bring it all the way back. On Chaval Vambez at the top, the Gemara discusses what's called Zuto Shalyan. What's Zuto Shalyan? It was swept away by the river. Meaning, usually the river would overflow, and it would, like, and then it would go back, right? And it would take things with it. Things would just float away with it. You never had any hope of retrieving it, even if you had a simen. With Zuto Shalyan, the Gemara assumes you never have any hope of ever retrieving it. That it's gone forever. So the Gemara tells Zuto Shalyan, even with the siman, Rachman Asharya. If a tornado comes, my car floats down the river. I don't know where it will flow to. It's considered, what do we call it? Absolute Aveda. Something that's a Davar HaNevad. Like Nechasim Shamar Del Balei, just like the case of the animal that runs away. It's an absolute aveda. There's no getting it back. It's a natural disaster. It wasn't taken by a ganav. So Mela, what happens when you have an absolute aveda? What's your relationship to it as the original owner? You don't own it anymore. You lost ownership entirely. Right? That's an absolute aveda. Simla is a different story. When the Torah describes an aveda, we're not talking about Zuto Shalyan. We're not talking about an animal that runs away. That's Mara al-Bala. We're talking about something that I have a simin, right? A simla. Clothing used to not be made like by big companies that made a million, copies of the exact same shirt. That you can go to whatever Old Navy and get like the, 10 kids, in class on the first day of school are wearing the same shirt because their mom's all in shopping at the same, right? It used to not be exactly that way, right? Every item of clothing was made slightly differently. Simla always had a simin. So when a simla is nevad, it's not really nevad. It's not nevad legam. What makes it an absolute aveda? An absolute aveda that takes away my bibles. See, normally I lose a piece of clothing, right? It's not nevad legam. And I'm still the bialim on it because it's not an absolute aveda. What makes it an absolute aveda? Yayush. Yayush makes it an absolute aveda. If there's no simon, that would make an absolute aveda even meikar, right? But yeyush makes it an absolute aveda. So what you see, the difference between yeyush and hefker, and this is how the Chazanish explains. This is a Chazanish, actually Maseches Kelim, and we'll explain why it's a Maseches Kelim soon. The Chazanish explains hefker is a hakna amidas. I am being makna the item to whoever picks it up. That's hefker. Yeyush is that it's already a half aveda. And I'm just being mashlim the Shem Aveda. Now, when I am mashlim the Shem Aveda, you know what happens? It becomes just like Hefker. But the idea of Yeyush is not that I am doing Hefker. I'm not being makne'it to anybody. By me giving up hope, I'm being mashlim the Shem Aveda. And me'mela, when I'm mashlim the Shem Aveda, it becomes Hefker. Likely, that's what Rashi means. What Tosfos means that Hefker and Yeirush are not the same thing means in the process they're not the same thing. When I am mafkir something, I say a lashon of hefker, and I am being makne it to whoever picks it up. When I'm yaesh on something, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just being mashlim the shema veda. I'm completing the shema veda. But the result of hefker and yeush are exactly the same. The result of both of them is now they're ownerless, and anyone can take them. So in the process, they're different. Tosfos is right. In the result, they're the same. Rashi's right. This chazanish is like such a yesod, and you got to go through the whole Gemara carefully and make sure this works. Rav Shachtu loves to say this chazanish. It's his favorite chazanish, I think, because he said it was the first chazanish he ever saw in his life. How old were you when you saw your first chazanish? You let me know, right? You let me know when it happens, right? But Rav Shachtu said that this was the first chazanish he ever saw in his life. Well, how old was he? So he said the story.
About sixth grade.
So. Yeah, about sixth grade. He said that when he was a kid, we were probably joking, but he used to always tell the story when he was a little kid growing up in Philadelphia. His father was the rabbi, and his father didn't have so many svarim. He had Shulchan Aruch, a Shas, like an old style Jew. That's what that's how Jews used to learn. A Shas, a Shulchan Aruch, a Medrash Rabbah, Tanakh, obviously. He didn't have like. Shinuach Hakam Kil Chasa Chela Gimel. Every sefer available. They just said so. There was a balabas in his father's shul in Philadelphia, who Nebuch had a daughter who was very ill. She was dying of cancer, and he was telling. They used to have these groups of people from little shtetlach in Europe that would stay in contact with each other, like everyone from Ungvar, like belonged to this society where they would all talk to each other because they were all from that same town, and they would be in contact with each other and let everyone know what's doing with their children and whatever, they would have like these groups. So this guy was telling Nebuch, his chaverim, his fellow survivors, he was telling them that Nebuch's daughter is very, very ill. And they said, well, did you send anything to the Chazon Ish, to let the Chazon Ish know? And he said, Chazon who? Chazon Ish wasn't world famous yet at the time. Chazon Ish was a Nistar for most of his life. He only became known a little bit later on, right, when he went to Eretz Yisrael. In Europe, he was a little shopkeeper. He didn't know knew who the Chazon Ish was. He wasn't so he said, yeah, Chazon Ish apparently lived in the same town right after he got married. And they told him, yeah, he's like a big tzaddik, big Talmud Chacham, you got to send. So he sent a letter to the Chazon Ish, I come from your town, I don't know what town it was, and Nebuch, my daughter, is sick. So the Chazon Ish sent a copy of the Sefer he had just published. At that time, it was the Chazon Ish on Maseches Kalim. And if you ever learn, I think we've pointed this out, you learn the Chazon Ish on Kalim or Negayim, there's no qualitative difference between that and the Chazon Ish on Bava Kamma. The greatest Raya to the godless of the Chazon Ish is that there is a Chazon Ish on Kalim and the guy, like, he learned it the same way with the same lumdus and the same depth. Like, it wasn't just for davening it up the night before the Shloshim that he signed up for, it's just unbelievable. So he had just printed the Chazon Ish on Kalim at the time, and he included an inscription to the girl, Aleph Mem Shlach Rufu Shlema L'Chol HaMecha. Aleph Mem meaning Avinu Malkein, Shlach Rufu Shlema L'Chol HaMecha, and such a Rebbe Shemaisa, the Chazon Ish said, put it under her pillow. Like, he knew the guy would not read, put it under her pillow. So they did, she died, and now he had this Chazon Ish on Kalim, and he didn't know what to do with it. So what do you do? You're a Balbas, you don't know which way to hold the Chazon Ish on Kalim, right? So he gave it to the rabbi. So he gave it to Rabbi Melech Shechter. So Rabbi Shechter said, when he was a little boy, before Bar Mitzvah, so I assume around sixth grade or so. So what were they learning in school? They were learning Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. So they had this whole discussion about Yeyush. So he opened up. He wanted to see what the Chazon Ish had to say about Yeyush, right? Like most sixth graders want to look up, see what the Chazon Ish has to say about Yeyush. So he said this was his first Chazon Ish that he ever saw. If you ever hear Rav Shechter speak, he's very attached to the Chazon Ish. He said Rav Soloveitchik used to tell the Talmidim to study the Chazon Ish because the Chazon Ish was not a genius, Rav Soloveitchik said. It was all Amelus that made the Chazon Ish Chazon Ish. So he said, you boys can relate to how the Chazon Ish was. That's what Salvation said. I don't even know what level of genius you have to be able to make that distinction, between, okay. So so this is the word of the Chazon Ish. What's Yeyush? Yeyush is that you are mashlin the shame of it. Rashi on the opening Mishnah, right? Whenever you're Messiah, you should become Sefker. That means that's the result. So the Chaznish says like this. You know, Chaznish says like this. Let's say I have a close friend comes to my house. I'm not home. Right? He lets himself in. Very, very close friend, you know. And he's nebuch starving. He just got in from Eretz Yisrael. He thought he would surprise me. And he tries texting me. I'm not, you know, I'm in shir. I'm not responding to text. He's starving. He needs something to eat. So he goes into my house. He knows that the second he walks into my house, it's mine as his. He could have whatever he wants. You know, of course, I'm going to offer him a drink and I'm going to offer him. So he takes a drink. He never asked me for permission. The food in my fridge is mine. Is he a ganav? What would you tell me?
No.
Why not?
What?
It's understood. Similar to what concept? Oh, good. And Yeish Lamidas Luchara. Meaning, one second. Is Yeish Lamidas, so the Chazon is really, is Yeish Lamidas just another example of Das Lamafreya? We discussed this, I think, last semester, right? Das Lamafreya? Is Yeish Lamidas just an example of, look, I know the guy doesn't have Das for it right now, but when he finds out, he'll be happy about it, and then he'll have Das, then. That he wants me to have it, right? So is Yeish Lamidas just Das Lamafreya? In which case, right, the reason why he's not a ganav is because Yeish Lamidas. That if Yeish Lamidas have Yeish, if you assume Yeish Lamidas have Yeish, then over here also the guy would not be a ganav. Says Chazanish, that is at 1 second. That is not why he's not a ganav. The only time we have Machlokes Abaye V'Rava is Dafka by Yeush. It would not apply to this case. Why? Why? Because what does Yeush accomplish? Something is already half of Rud. It's already half of an Aveda. And by having Yeush, what did I do? Mashlim Hashem Aveda. No sheichus to that case. The case where you're Ganef has anything to do with Mashlim Hashem anything. It wasn't half anything yet. It's Daslim Afrei is a different sugya, says the Chazanish. Yeish Lamidas is very specific to something that already has somewhat of a shame, and I need to be mashlim that shame. Now what you got to do is go through all 12 rayas and see if that fits with everything the Gemara says, which we're not going to go through all 12, but we'll go through one in a second. Yes.
Actually, I turn the answer is yes, because there's nothing, because it will be consumed and there's nothing for Dashi and Das on afterwards to actually...
I think the answer is yes, but for a different reason. We'll get to it. We'll get to it soon.
Yes, it's going to be
consumed. I don't know why that makes sense. He's consuming your stuff, though. That's stealing.
Yeah, that's why he's.
Oh, then he's a ganav. You're saying. Yeah. So I disagree, and we'll see why. We'll see why. Okay. The first bunch of rayas in Chaval Van Beis, for those who learned through it, are all about avedas, pretty much. Avedas in one form or another. Good. So if Yeish Lamidas is about being Mashlim Hashem Aveda, I would hope that all the rayas would be about Aveda. But then you come across a raya on the bottom of Chav Beis Amar Aleph. Okay, this I don't expect everyone to have gotten to. Right? On the bottom of Chav Beis Amar Aleph. So what does the Gemara talk about on the bottom of Chav Beis Amar Aleph? Tashema, 2 lines from the bottom of the page. Odeyu atal aleihem v'samach hareze b'chiyuta. That if there is tal, if there is dew on your fruits, on your peros, and you're happy about it, so that's machshir your peros to be makabel tuma. Gnavo, nagvo rather, if they dried up, and you didn't know, dew hit your peros. Your peros were wet. What does it take to be machshir makabel tuma? It's got to come in contact with one of the Zion mashkim, right? Yad shachadah. Your peros were wet, but you had no idea that they were wet. Now, it not only, I should be clear, it not only has to come in contact with one of the Zion Mashkim, you have to be happy about it. You have to be happy about the fact that it came in contact with one of the Zion Mashkim. So what happens? It comes in contact with one of the Zion Mashkim. You had no idea. Then it dried. And then you find out, oh, an hour ago it was wet. And you're like, oh, I'm so happy that it was wet an hour ago. So does that work? Had I known at the time, I would have been so happy. I didn't know at the time. What does that sound like, the Gemara says? Yeish Lamidas. Right? Yeish Lamidas is, I'm being miyayish right now. Had I known when I lost it, when this guy picked it up, had I known that I had lost it, I would have been miyayish then. But I didn't, because I didn't know. So Gemara says the same thing over here. I didn't know. I didn't know that it was wet, that my parents were wet. But had I known, I would have been very happy about it. That makes it hooks for the Kabbal Tumma. Ooh. The Gemara is connecting this to Yesh Lomidas. Is it the same, though? According to the Chazanish, what's the definition of what does Yesh do? Mashlim Hashem Aveda. It completes the Hashem Aveda. Does that work for this Raya? Is it being Mashlim, or is this just Daslam Afreya? So it might actually work, and the Chazanish points out this is why it's in Taros. How does Hekshar L'Kabbal Tumma work? This is like a Gevaldika topic that we're not going to have time to really do. The topic of Hekshar L'Kabbal Tumma. There's a beautiful piece on it in the Sefer that I'm not allowed to quote anymore, but whatever. But how does Hekshar L'Kabbal Tumma work? Why is it that when something becomes wet, oh, now it could become Tumma? Before it became wet, it couldn't become Tumma. So there are four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumma. There's Adam, Kelim, Ochlim, Mashkim, right? So food is only Mekabel Tumma if it first has Hechsher L'Kabbal Tumma. Nachon? Does drink need Hechsher L'Kabbal Tumma first? Does liquid need Hechsher L'Kabbal Tumma? No, so I would have said it doesn't because it is, right? It already is in contact with the liquid. The Gemara is a different reason why it doesn't, but it doesn't. So how do we understand why is it that I have a perfectly good apple, it cannot be Mekabel Tumma, a drop of water on it, and I'm happy about that drop of water, now it could be Mekabel Tumma. So this is Machlokas Ramban and Sefer Achinuch. The Ramban writes that just like you have certain things that are better conductors of heat, like metals conduct heat, you have like conductors of tumma, and liquid is a conductor of tumma. Meaning, liquid allows tumma to transfer. Or the way I used to give the mashal, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but it's good for mashal purposes. Like liquid makes things; it's like a glue almost. Tumma can't stick to the food when the food's dry. It's like if they, you tell your child after he takes a shower, you tell him go take a shower and then put on your pajamas. So another person, a comedian who was known as a kosher, very clean comedian, who also you're not allowed to quote anymore, used to say that like when you tell your children, take a shower and then put on your pajamas, that's not specific enough. Because you never said dry yourself, right? So they'll come down with their pajamas sticking to their body. Now, why are their pajamas sticking to their body? It was Bill Cosby. Come on. The first one I'm not going to tell you, but that one. So, at least not on the recorder. Why are their pajamas sticking to their body? Because they're wet. And when things are wet, things stick to them. You take an apple and you put it in sand and you pick it up. All the sand goes right off. Take a wet apple and put it in sand and it sticks to it. So on a metaphysical level, tumma sticks when there's a conductor of tumma, when there's tumma glue. And that's what water is. That's what the I asks the Ramban. The Ramban himself asks, how come food is still hukshul l'kabbal tumma even after it dries? Right? You take that apple, you were happy about making it wet, you washed it, and then it dried. It's still hukshul l'kabbal tumma. It doesn't have the glue anymore. So the Ramban says, lo plug. This got Rav Yosef Engel very excited, because Rav Yosef Engel is interested in unusual topics. So he says, do we ever have a low plug d'oraisa? Low plug d'rabbanans we have all the time. The rabbanan make a gzeira for this case, not that case. But we low plug. Do you ever have a low plug d'oraisa? Exhibit A, this Ramban. Low plug d'oraisa. Of course, he's got 16 other examples, because he's Rav Yosef Engel, but low plug d'oraisa. That's what Ramban understands. Rav Shachter told us that when Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about Hekshar L'Kabbal Tumma, he would not quote this Ramban. And again, we can't even say this, but Rav Soloveitchik would say, anyone who understands the ABCs of Hekshar L'Kabbal Tumma understands that it doesn't work that way. Without quoting that, it's the Ramban that says that. So the Rav was a real Ramban Jew. Rabbi Ganak has a whole, who's a Torah board member, I think, has a whole hesped for the Rav about how the Rav was a Ramban Jew. Everyone associates the Rav with the Ramban, But he had a real strong affinity to the Ramban. But he thought this Ramban was incorrect. I don't know, can you say that? That a Rishon? If you're the Rav, maybe you can. And he thought the Pashtus was like what the Sefer HaChinuch says. How does Hekshel HaKapitim work? It's not metaphysical glue. What's Mekabel Tumah? We said four categories. Ochlin, Mashkin, Adam Kedush. But Ochlin, most produce, before you wash it, you cannot eat it. Right? You take an apple out of the drawer, out of the fridge, and you're about to bite into it, and your mother says, oh, I didn't wash it yet. Gotta wash it. Right? Why is she telling you to wash it? Because you're not supposed to eat it until you wash it. Right? That's the assumption. You don't eat fruit until you wash it. It's not ochlin until you wash it. But apparently, even the Sefer HaChinuch, right, in times of the Rishonim, says that it's not ochlin until you wash it. So now, wait a second. But think about how strange this is. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, which mashkim are machshirut lekabel tuma? Water, yes, that makes sense. There's six others, including dam, right? Wait, your mother would say, oh, cut yourself! And then, smear it with blood first! Don't eat it! No, okay, so that's your low plug, Daraisa. That we let all the mashkim be machshirut lekabel tuma, even those that don't wash. Okay, but that's how the Sefer HaChinuch understands Hekshel HaKabel Tumah. This is Gishmak. Why is this so Gishmak for us? We said, what in the world does Hekshel HaKabel Tumah have to do with Yeyush? Right, we're trying to figure out, according to the Chazon Ish, and Rav Soloveitchik said the same idea. According to the Chazon Ish, what's Yeyush? It's already partially Ne'avad, it's already partially lost. I'm being mashlim the Shema Veda. How am I maslim the Shema Veda? Through my Yeyush. So we're bringing a riot from Hekshel HaKabel Tumah? What's it got to do with being maslim the Shema anything? It's got everything to do. An apple, is it a food? Almost. What does it need? One last thing. It needs to be washed. You're being maslim the Shema Ocha. It needs to be nichale as well. So that's the Gemara's discussion. Does that work, l'mafrei? If you learn like the Sefer HaChinuch, this fits perfectly in our sugya. They're being mashed in the Shem Ochel. You know, this, Rav Shechter points out, there's a machlokas. The Gemara in Sukkah says, can I take a bunch of bushels of wheat and use them as schach? Does it check all the boxes? What do you need for schach? Right? It needs to be gedula menar, it has to grow from the ground. It has to be talush, it can't be attached anymore. Good. But it can't be mekabel tumah. Ooh. Okay, what if I have wheat that never got wet yet? It was never on the Kabbalah. I have apples. I went apple picking, because that's what you're supposed to do in Chol HaMoed. And I come home and my schach has fallen in. So can I just like pour all the apples over my sukkah? Somehow I have a netting or something that holds it. I pour all my apples over my sukkah. They never became wet yet. Gemara says, no, it doesn't work. But a machlokas achronim, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, that it doesn't work. Should it work or shouldn't it work? So one second. So wait a second. If you learn like the Ramban, the apple was an ochel before, it's an ochel after it gets wet, before it gets wet, it just didn't have the conduit to allow for the tumah to attach itself to it, but the chafza is the same chafza. So of course it's possible. Midaraisa. According to the chinuch, prior to washing, it's not an ocha. Ooh, so maybe on a daraisa level you could use it for schach. It's only midrabanan that you can't. It's only mashal m'shem ocha once it's shel kabel tumah. Right? Right. Once it rains, well, you could just be lo nichle, which of course you never nichle with the rain. On that's a whole other discussion. Does it have to be lo nichle that the rain came out of the sky or that the rain hit the pavement? That's another discussion in the sefer that I'm not allowed to quote. Wow. So that turns out pretty nicely. So now let's bring it back to my friend. My friend comes to my house and he helps himself, right? If there's an umdunu demuchach that I would give my friend the food, but I'm not there and I didn't express any das that I want to give him the food, there's no das. Says Chazon Ish, that's got nothing to do with our sugya. That's just over there. In order to take away the shame gezel, you need to give it to him. Rava, who says Yeish Lomidas Havi Yeush, is only in the case where you're being Mashlim Hashem. Mashlim Shem Avud, Mashlim Shem Ochel. It happens to be, by the way, we don't paskin like Rava. Anyhow, this is one of the Al Kagan, right? We paskin like Abaye anyway. Let's say I have a lot of Tevel at home, and someone comes in as Mafresh Shumas Maisos for me. The Gemara talks about this case also. Someone comes Mafresh Shumas Maisos for me. I'm happy about it because it saves me the burden of having to be Mafresh Shumas Maisos. So the Gemara says, does it work? Does that work? I didn't tell him to do it originally. He did it, and then when I saw that he did it, I was like, great job. So the Gemara is explicit. Atem gam atem l'rabo shluchachem ma'atem idas av shluchachem idas. Right, where's that Gemara? Anyone get to it yet? Where is it? On Chafei Zaman Aleph? Yeah. About two-thirds down on Chafei Zaman Aleph. There you have it. Right? So what do we see from there? That it needs to be Midas. It doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work that... Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? If you hold like Rav Eliezer, Shlomo Midas, Havi Yeush. So why... Isn't it just Das L'Mafreya? So why doesn't my Das L'Mafreya work to make this Truma? Nu, what's the answer? Because according to the Chazon Ish, Nu, what's the answer? There is no din of Das L'Mafreya. What's the din? Being Mashlim Hashem Aveda. Being Mashlim Hashem. Over here, this isn't about being Mashlim. He needs Das in order to be Mafresh Shumas Maisras. He didn't have it. There's no Das L'Mafreya. That whole concept doesn't exist in the eyes of the Chazon Ish.
Can you apply the concept of Sakin Yadu Shulafana Lemafreya?
It's not Lemafreya, it's Meikara you're doing. What? So why not with the Tevel? Because that's Zachin Mei Adam, right? You're taking from his stuff. Very good. So I have a lot of Tevel, some of it doesn't work, right? The only time we say that assume Das is when the Das Abaylim is there at the Hakna'a. By Yeush, you're being Mashlim Shem Avud. By Hechshir Zoram, you're being Mashlim Shem Ochel. So it becomes, right, a couple of times on its own. There's a discussion, Tosos here on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, seems to make an assumption. Someone mentioned before, I think Shimon mentioned before, the notion that someone comes into shul, they don't have tefillin. Yeah, so they see my tefillin, right? So what do? They borrow my tefillin. Why? Why are they allowed to do that? I'm happy to do mitzvahs with my mama. Isn't that awesome, my friend? You're borrowing my tefillin. I have no idea. I have no idea that you're borrowing my tefillin.
And this, by the way, you're also referring to before also, that the difference in borrowing tefillin versus eating the food out of my fridge.
But here's where we're going to explain why I disagree with your conclusion. Not me. Rashach said this whole shiur. So you're borrowing my tefillin. But you didn't have my das. How are you allowed to do that? Isn't this exactly Das L'Mafreya? That because I would have been okay with it, that's why you're allowed to do it? So, and by the way, and what do we pass on Yeish Shalom Das? Lo Avi Yeish. So how could it be Nichle Elish Kaimitz of Mone? Even if you want to say it's exactly like a case of Yeush, it's the wrong conclusion. It should be Aser. So the way the Shach says in the Chosh Mishpah, the Shach always quotes, is that when it comes to the Yisur Gzela, you don't need Das. You don't need Das for the Yisur Gzela. There's no requirement for Das. Gzela is dependent on Hakpada Debab. If I'm makbid about it, it's gezel. If I'm not makbid about it, it's not gezel. That's the definition of gezel. Hakpada d'bar. I can't provide das l'mafreya, but I was not makbid. And if there's no hakpada d'bar, there's no gezel. Meaning, when you're borrowing my tefillin, is it becoming yours? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's still mine. I'm not providing das. I'm not giving up ownership. Das is needed to be makne something. I want to be mafkir something. I want to be makna something. I need das. Das is needed to make it Yeyush, because Yeyush accomplishes, now it has the Shem Aveda, and now it's going to be Hefker. Das is needed, ki yutan dumya dechiyitein, that I'm going to be machshir lekabel tumah. Das is needed. To take away this Shem Gezel, you just need that there's no Akpadas Abayim. You know, the original context of Nichle Elavi Leinishlav Mitzvah Moneh is in the beginning of Pesachim. I rent out a house for Pesach. I tell the guy, you know, on the list of specifications, how many bedrooms and the location, how close to a shul, and that it's all going to be badek already. It's all going to be searched. And he comes in and there's chametz all over the place. And it's going to cost him money now to hire a cleaning service to get rid of the chametz. So Nichle Leinishlav Mitzvah Moneh. He's happy. He's happy to do the mitzvah with his money. It's not a mekach tzos. People are happy to pay to do a mitzvah. Wow. That's the original context. The Rishonim extend that to not only chametz, but talis and tefillin. And that's what appears in Shulchan Aruch. A person comes to shul, sees talis and tefillin, doesn't have talis and tefillin. He knows it's not his, but he knows whoever owns it isn't using it. So he uses it. That's the Rishonim. The Shach goes even further. Even if it's not about a mitzvah at all. It's just that the other guy's not machped. So, if there's no hakpada, he could take my food. He knows I'm not machped. That's it. So it's not gezel when he takes my food. But would it make it lachem? Would it make it his? Let's say the first day of Sukkos. First day of Sukkos. A guy comes into my house. And I'm not there for whatever reason. Right? I'm going, doing mitzvahs in my son Tov, whatever. The guy comes into my house and he says to my wife, I didn't take Lulav and Esrog yet. And my wife says, oh, you could take my husband's Lulav and Esrog. Oh, where is he? He's not home. So I'm not there to be machmir to him. But of course I would give it to him. Of course he knows I would give it to him. Is it Lachem? Is he Yotze? First day. Is it Lachem? Or yeah, so the halach, no, it's not Lachem. Aye, but I'm not machmir. It's not Gezel. It's also not Lachem. I'm not being makbid about it. We have to point out this Baram Tosan Chav Beis Amaral seems to disagree with this Shach. Okay, but that's for a different time, I guess. But I'm not being makbid about it, so it's not Gezel, but it's certainly not Lachem. You know, this comes up, this is a major discussion. Why is it that when I invite you to my house and there's food brought to the table, that you're allowed to eat that food? Okay, good. It's assumed, right? Meaning, you know, obviously, I'm not being makbid about it. And if I'm not makbid, it's not Gezel. You have a right to eat it. Is it yours? It's a discussion in Poskim and Evin Ezer. Why are you Evin Ezer? You know the case, no? Yeah, I invite you to my house and invite a bunch of nice young ladies to my house as well. Right? Land of College for Women, Land of College for Men. We have a meal together. Right? We decide we're doing Shiduchim or whatever. So you're sitting next to this lovely young lady. She seems sprung and wonderful, and she tells you all about her family, and she's a Bas Tamil Chacham, and she checks all the boxes, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, you're so overcome by your luck. You're hitting it off. So you take the piece of chicken, and you say, Harayim Kadesh Asleep, Eternal Zoo Kadesh Moshe Yisrael. First, you tell the two guys sitting next to you, Adam. And they say, yeah, good. Okay, you're not related to me. Anyone in my shul? No, I mean, anyone in my shul, that's what we say to John Brown. Anyone, you're not related to anyone. Okay, you're not related to me or her or whatever. Yeah, good. Okay, Hare Mugdash Sleep. That's my chicken. Who are you going to be Makadish Anish with my chicken? But you took the piece. Does it become yours when you take it? I know you're allowed to eat it. Yeah, you're allowed to eat it. Why are you allowed to eat it? Are you allowed to eat it because it's yours, or are you allowed to eat it because I wasn't machmir and therefore it's not gezel? But it doesn't make it lachem, it doesn't make it yours. You're going to fail that bechinah. Mesach Kedushin only has two questions, only one of you. Is it yours? Is this ring yours? Is this chicken yours? Great shtick, by the way. You have the ring? No, but I got a piece of chicken. Is it yours? So you're going to fail. You're going to say, no, it's not mine. L'chora, according to the Shach. That's like a major discussion that the Poskim have in Evin Ezer. You know, there's a rush in Maseches Pesachim that holds that for matzah you need lachem. So you're a guest at someone's seder. If you need lachem for matzah, how are you yotzi matzah on the first night? If you're a guest at someone's seder, you didn't buy the matzah. Your father bought the matzah. Your host bought the matzah. How are you mekayim mitzvah matzah? It's not lachem. So the Taz writes, there's an umdana that you're makna the matzah to all of the guests. Others say, umdana? That he's makna? Who says? When I invite you to my house, you're allowed to eat the food. I'm not makna the food to you. I'm just not being makbid on the food. And that's why Sfasem, as others, suggest that you should do a kinyan on the matzah. That you should actually be kona the matzah. Because the fact that you're eating at someone's table does not mean that you have a kinyan on the matzah. So that it's a wild chiddush, right? So it would depend on the same issue, right? If it's an umdana that it's yours, that he's being makne to you, then ain't no chinami. No, you're not doing an isur geneva, but it doesn't. It's not yours. You ate my food. B'teva, I'm happy that you ate my food, but you ate my food. It's an unbelievable. You know, we're going to have to discuss. There's a sugya way at the end of Baba Kama. That maybe we'll start with this Sunday. There's a sugya way at the end of Baba Kama that may shed light on this, according to the Nesivos. Rav Salvechik had, Rav Shakta told us, Rav Salvechik in Rav Chaim's last year of life, the whole Salvechik family, the Brisker Rav, but the Ramesha Salvechik, their children, they all lived with Rav Chaim their last year of life. Rav Salvechik was like 14, and he remembered a nafkamina in this discussion that both his father and his uncle agreed to. So that was a shame. That's it on Sunday. All right?